Hey, welcome back to the Bill Bennett Show. Thoughtful conversation about the news of the day. And we try to address the existential threats to America, whether to the country at large or to individual places and people and schools. Joining us today, Sean Trendy, senior election analyst for Real Clear Politics. We'll talk about the midterms. But first, obviously, there's some overarching, very important news. And I'd like to give you my read on the Uvalde shooting massacre, slaughter. I don't call it tragedy. I understand why people do. I call it a slaughter. Tragedy is, you know, when a car crash, someone near to you dies. This is a catastrophe, a slaughter, a massacre. There are obviously questions. Apparently, this is going to be clarified at a press conference today. Today is Friday. That's when we're recording this podcast. Before the weekend, we can update you too. The whole question to me is misrepresentation and timeline. First of all, misrepresentation, we heard that there was a school security officer who engaged the killer and exchanged gunfire, perhaps. And not true at all. Never true. There wasn't anybody there and the doors were open. That needs to be answered. Okay, that's one. Two, this hour wait, Claude, between the time the shooter's in there killing people and the cops going in. We should have learned a lesson from Columbine, which is that when you hear the shooting, you go in. You hear the shooting in the school, go in, go in, go in. Now, one of the arguments is, well, you might get shot if you get in. That's correct. You might. That's what you signed up for. Sorry. Right. That's why you wear the badge. That's why you carry a gun. Your point is to, you know, your job is to put yourself between the innocent public and a killer, not to commit suicide. But I'll get to that in a second. There are reports that while they were there, cops, the local cops, they're waiting for body armor. Texas Rangers were there, state, federal, local. Claude, here's what I think we had happen. I think you had a bureaucratic joint screw-up. That's another word for it, but bureaucracy. Who's in charge? Wait a minute, we're the Texas Rangers. We're the FBI. We're the ATF. And I think they're all milling around and then saying, well, let's get the best equipment and the body armor. While they were waiting for the body armor, apparently true, parents were ready to rush into the school. In fact, did you know this? One parent did rush into the school.
I did not know that.
Mrs. Gomez, Alina Gomez, was screaming at the cops. She got handcuffed. After they let her out of her handcuffs, she ran into the school and took her two kids out. Now, if she could do that, why couldn't the cops go in? I heard Darren Porcher, who's an analyst for Fox, and he used to be a cop in the New York Police Department. He said what we learned after Columbine is all gas, no brakes. You hear the shooting, you go in.
Got to. You have to.
I've also heard this countered well. After 5 minutes, it's probably mostly over. 85% of the deaths occur in the first 5 minutes in 85% of the cases. But this doesn't take into account horrible, say, bleeding out, how kids are doing. If you get in there in 20 minutes as opposed to an hour, maybe you can save some lives.
Right.
You know, every minute counts. So go in. That means you might lose a couple of police officers. Yes, I understand that. They're domestic soldiers. Porcher said, you go, the lesson of Columbine is all gas, no brakes. But I'll bet you when this shakes out, we're going to see a bureaucratic circle, I want to say it, confusion. Who's in charge? Wait a minute, we need this, we need that. Wait a second. Meanwhile, that guy's in there killing kids. Or if they're already shot, they're bleeding. Get them out. Now, well, how could this parent run in and get her two kids? But the cops couldn't go in. Oh, she went in a side door. Well, you go in a side door.
Go in a side door. Exactly.
What about the window? Don't tell me there's no window in that classroom. Classrooms have windows, almost all of them. This guy was known. There's a report out that he had threatened to shoot up school 4 years ago. Apparently, that's false. But what isn't false is this guy dropped out of school, was out of school the entire semester, senior year. Where the hell were the people who were supposed to visit with him and find out what's going on?
Right.
This is like the Florida case, Cruz, where they, you know, this kid's in obvious trouble. Now, cops well knew the kid in Florida, Cruz. They didn't know this kid so well. But the classroom has to have records of this high school senior that he hadn't shown up for an entire semester. Where the hell, you know, where the hell is he? Was somebody sent to his home, his grandmother's home, his mother's home? A couple of conclusions. Be very interesting to see the follow-up, what clarifications are offered. Be very interested to see what school policy now becomes. I know everybody's saying you got to have an armed guard at these schools. You ever seen these security guards at banks and department stores? You get the feeling some of them would be ready. Mm-hmm. You get the feeling some of them wouldn't, you know? Just don't know. Sleep on the job. Not all of them can be Frank Wills. You remember who Frank Wills was? Security guards, first day of work at the Watergate. Young black guy who barely got the job. They gave it to him, and he saw the tape on the doors and blew the whistle, and they came and got these guys. Anyway, you got to have a rotation so people don't get bored of the job and just start to sleep and watch television. You remember Die Hard, the movie?
I do. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got security guy just watching TV, you know. By the way, I think Die Hard also, listeners correct me, has a bureaucratic screw-up where they're all trying to figure out who's in charge. Mm-hmm. Who's got jurisdiction? Meanwhile, Bruce Willis playing John, whatever his name is in there killing bad guys. Okay, so we'll see what happens there. The other thing is, you want to predict? You want to buy stock in homeschooling?
Yeah, get it. Yeah, John McClane is the character.
Right? John McClane. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Homeschooling, alternative means of schooling, mm-hmm. where kids are close by. I mean, everybody wants to send their kids back to school after COVID. Irony. I bet you a lot of people are now thinking whether they want to send their little kids back to school.
Oh, 100%.
We have to address these questions. First of all, the bureaucracy. Two, when they're shooting, you go in. You go in, you go in, you go in. Why not in numbers? I was saying to my wife last night, 30, 40 parents, if you know, if they had thought about it, maybe they did, could have rushed the school. Mm-hmm. And go in the same exit or entrance that Mrs. Gomez went in. Yeah, three or four of them could have gotten killed. Yeah, maybe so. But they might have saved lives of some of those children. Is a child's life worth more than an adult life? Yes, I would say so. Yeah. I mean, I know all lives are created equal, but you'd give up your life for your child, right?
100%. And there's no doubt in my mind that if Manny was in that school, you know, I'm Mrs. Gomez. I'm going in. I can't sit out here next to one. I'm going in 100%. And if I don't make it out, I went in trying to save him, you know, and you do it 100% of the time. The thing I love about what you're talking about, too, Dr. Bennett, is the fact that there's nothing political about what you're saying. You can debate and argue and try to hammer down legislation. But how about while politicians are working on the politics, how about we just work on making sure that jurisdictions and school zones are prepared? Police departments are prepared in case this happens. Whether you want to talk gun control or mental health, fine, let's do all of that. But there's something we can do just by way of preparedness to make sure that if this happens, everyone's on the same page from, like you said, going in. We're not waiting. The police are there. The security guard, they're going in. You know, there's things we can do outside of the politics to be ready. And you laid it out. You laid it out right here.
I don't know. I mean, I hope so. Upshot, there'll be accountability. There has to be. I want to hear from more of these parents about what they were told, why they couldn't go in or why the cops weren't going in. Answer, it was dangerous, is not a good answer. You know, very, very loose analogy, but do you remember when they had that shooter in the D.C. area, that guy in the truck and the kid in the trunk that had been hollowed out? So he was shooting from the trunk. Remember that?
Right.
Up and down Virginia. Mm-hmm. They caught him near Richmond. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay. So he was terrorizing the area and creating a lot of worry. One of my sons was in high school. And football game was scheduled, and they canceled it. There wasn't any particular threat to the school or anybody in the school, but just the situation. The school wanted to cancel the game. I said, no. They said, well, it's dangerous. This guy could pull up and start shooting. I said, get all the fathers of the school to ring the field. I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you. Mm-hmm. We'll get all the dads and surround the field, human shield, and play the game. School turned it down as a result of... Speaking like a father here, my kid's 3-year record was 29-0 as opposed to 30-0, but 29-0 is still pretty good.
Not bad. Mm-hmm.
No, not bad. Not bad at all. But anyway, these are risks you take. You know, it's back to fundamentals. I was thinking about Tom Wolfe's great essay, Great Relearning. We need to relearn the things. Cops are there to put themselves between the public and an insane person or a murderous person or a dangerous person. Schools are there to teach math, reading, history, art, and science, protect children. When a student drops out for a full semester, you got to go investigate.
Mm-hmm.
The family is the first, best, and original Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back upstream. Do we know any school shooters who come from strong families, intact families? I don't think so.
Right.
Any of these 18-year-olds that come from good, solid Claude and Sierra type families? I don't think so. Look at this kid's background. No one knows where the father is. The mother, poor mother, is sitting there. They just showed her saying the rosary, sitting on the porch in her own world. It seems the grandmother was shot, but survived.
How
about that? Yeah. The grandmother survived and all the kids died.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible situation. Final thoughts, Claude, please.
Like you said, you know, you laid it out like, and again, I'm not just saying this because I'm on, because, you know, I'm producing the show. You laid it out like no one else I've heard in media. Solutions that can happen right now, today, has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with what party you're in, has nothing to do with the Second Amendment, nothing to do with anything other than there's got to be an understanding of protocol and readiness. Imagine if the sacrifice and the preparedness, the readiness that you had mentioned moments ago was at play here, perhaps lives could have been saved. Perhaps some kids, perhaps not, but some could have been. And if we're just focused on real solutions that and not play the political game like you just did here, we could make inroads. We could make inroads. And I wish I could say that I'm confident that this time would be different, and that next time this, but I don't know. And it's like you said, you hug your loved ones close, you check on your nieces and nephews, and, you know, you make decisions about your family and schooling options and things like that. I know for sure with us, we were thinking, okay, sixth grade, maybe seventh grade, we send Manny back to school. Sierra shut that down 2 days ago. And maybe it's a motion. Maybe next week, 2 weeks from now, she's better. Shuts that down. Oh, homeschool for a little longer. It's not happening soon. So, you know, I don't know. But there are things we can do and we should do them. The community should, we got to do them.
Repeat that, if you will. You guys were thinking about school change.
Yeah, because so Manny's he's in the fourth grade now. He's going to fifth grade. We were thinking about, private school in the sixth grade. And 2 days ago, Sierra says, no, sixth grade, not happening. Nope, we're not doing it. He's staying home longer.
Keep him home, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder what will happen on that front.
Yeah.
Anyway, in my two jobs, last thought, the Secretary of Education is first drug czar. I was struck by how bureaucratic things had become, both in education and law enforcement, and how many superintendents of schools and principals were not educators, but had become bureaucrats. Not all of them, not the good ones, but a lot of them. Same with police chiefs. They weren't interested in, you know, locking up the bad guys. They were interested in managing themselves in the city bureaucracy, staying in the favor of the mayor, whatever. And I'm worried that there was a bureaucratic, back and forth outside that school.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
mm-hmm.
in charge? Let's wait for this. Let's wait for that. No, we think we'll do the, well, Washington thinks, well, FBI, well, you know, we'll find out.
You know, free email services like Gmail and Yahoo aren't really free. You pay with your privacy. In fact, internet giants like Big Tech bank on exploiting your data by selling it to the highest bidder. Your business plan? Google has it. Your medical records? Yahoo can sell them to drug companies. You've got to be concerned about your email surveillance. So much of your personal data is at risk by using these free service providers. Companies can sell your data and they can target people with intrusive ads. You open up your email and then there's ad after ad after ad. It also opens you up to identity theft and phishing attacks. That's why I started to use StartMail. It makes me feel safe again. StartMail keeps my email private, period. Every email can be encrypted, even if the recipient does not use encryption. When you delete an email in StartMail, it's gone forever. Not floating in the cloud, not able to be recovered somewhere, but gone. And StartMail uses their own servers, not Amazon's, which means they can't be put out of business like Parler. Switching to StartMail is seamless, too. You can easily transfer all your current email data, so there's no starting from scratch. StartMail is also backed by the most stringent privacy laws in the world.
You get unlimited anonymous aliases. This feature protects your main email address from spam and phishing attacks. So when you're giving your email to a company but want to protect your identity, StartMail can generate a shareable alias email so people can't sell your information and they can be deleted anytime. The thing I like about StartMail is that anytime I'm trying to sign up for a newsletter or I've got to send people my information and I've got to include an email address, it's unavoidable the way technology is. You've got to send that email address. The alias feature here on StartMail allows you to send an email address, still be able to correspond with people, but your real email address is still hidden. It's like an extra layer of protection. Plus, I like spy movies and spy television series, and so it makes me feel like a spy. Listen, I'm joking, but your cybersecurity has never been more at risk. We see this in the news all the time. Email snoops and scammers are taking advantage of the pandemic as phishing has skyrocketed in the last year. You can take control of your privacy with StartMail before it's too late. Start securing your email privacy with StartMail. Sign up today and you'll get 50% off your first year. That's half off of the first year. Go to startmail.com/bill. That's StartMail with a T, StartMail, StartMail.com/bill for 50% off your first year. StartMail.com/bill.
Joining us now is Sean Trendy, senior election analyst for Real Clear Politics. Okay, we're coming up on midterms. You're the guy. Overall picture, and then we'll break it down. What do you see in November for Republicans, Democrats, and any others?
It's going to be a terrible time to be a Democrat running for re-election. I was looking at the numbers, and you know, my longtime theory is that elections are referenda on the party in power, and to understand what's going on, you really need to focus in on presidential job approval. And right now, President Biden's job approval is about 2.5 points lower than President Obama's was on Election Day 2010, and about 3 points lower than President Trump's was on Election Day 2018. It is just a really, really rancid environment for Democrats right now, and they're going to take the brunt of it on Election Day.
Issues, inflation is the overwhelming issue, number one.
I think it's everything. I mean, you have you have inflation.
That's a good point.
You have, you know, the economy might be going into recession. You have things don't seem to be going particularly well in the world. I mean, there's just really nothing I think Democrats can point to right now and be like, hey, it's been a great 2 years.
Immigration, right?
Immigration, yeah. I mean, especially if we end up with a border surge. Mm-hmm. About all they can say that's going well, and I mean, it's not a small deal, is that COVID appears to be under control for now. But, you know, people have short memories. It's rough for them.
I don't want to, you know, talk about subject I didn't ask you to think about, but this COVID thing, one aspect of the COVID thing, you know, on the Uvalde is everybody said, well, now we can send our kids back to school. I'll bet a lot of parents are going to pause. I told Claude earlier, I predicted that we'll see a surge in homeschooling and other alternate means of schooling, you know, buy stock and homeschooling.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, it could, you know, slaughter, catastrophe. This is what happens. Anyway. I'm glad you said that, all of the above, because I'm tired of the media doing number one is 35 and number two is 32. And people just say, man, things are a mess. And a lot of people are saying that. And they are they not, tying it to Joe Biden?
Well, yeah. I mean, the buck stops here, whether you want to accept it or whether you don't want to accept it. And it's just really bad for Joe Biden. And you think about like 2010, you know, the economy was improving slowly, but it was improving. And 2018, we had a great economy. There were other things going on, but there are things that the incumbent could argue about, like this is why you don't want to switch horses.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't exist right now. Like, what does Joe Biden run on, or the Democrats?
Abortion. Yes. No.
So Roe is the one kind of big, I'm not entirely sure how it plays out, factor. You know, it might save the Democrats in some of these marginal suburban seats. But at the same time, I'm just not, the American public is squishy moderates on abortion. They don't really like the GOP position, but they don't like the Democrats position either. And of course, it's only one half of that statement that really gets a lot of coverage. So I'm not sure abortion is going to be the savior for the Democrats that they think, because they're extremists on the issue too, generally.
You know, it strikes me they really are, and I'm, you know, I'm pro-life person, but their arguments are just so bad. I mean, it's sort of this violence thing or demonstrations outside of justices' houses. It seems to me politically they should take up the laws passed in some of these states and say, really, you're going to prosecute doctors and mothers? Really? Yeah. You're not going to allow in cases of rape and incest? Really?
They'll definitely do that. But like I said, the GOP response is, you know, really? You want abortion to be legal up to the point of a counting baby?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm kind of a squishy. How I feel about it depends literally on the day that I wake up. I'm kind of like the regular American people in that regard. But, you know, the rhetoric really does turn me off. The abortion is like clipping your toenails crowd just sends chills up my spine. The Kermit Gosnells of the world.
Right. The argument I've been using for 30, 40 years, and I rarely hear it, is this. It's just a commonplace, which is, you know, someone calls you and says, well, we had a little girl. No one ever says a little girl what?
Right.
You know, a little girl otter, or a little girl, you know, porcupine. No, a little girl baby, a human being. I mean, we all kind of know what it is, right? We all kind of know what's there. All right. You know, the question of when and if and how and what point and quickening and all that. But all right. So maybe in marginal districts.
Maybe. The number of people who really put abortion as their top issue is pretty small. Of course, that exists in a real world. But
is it true that for the number of people who put abortion as their number one issue, that that's actually more pro-life people than pro-choice people?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
So then this can't cut for Dems in a big way, it doesn't seem to me, no matter what.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, okay. House races. I want to really spend more time on the Senate and the governors, but any interesting ones? Can you update us on this Texas one? Is it Cuellar and Cisneros?
Yeah, it looks like Cuellar pulled this primary out, but Cisneros isn't going quietly. So there could be, you know, some repercussions for a while there. The GOP has it's really interesting. You know, the Rio Grande Valley has swung heavily towards Republicans recently, and they have three female Hispanic candidates running in these races, and there's a good chance two of them will pull it out. The storyline no one is really following is there is a chance that we are going to have the most diverse GOP caucus ever come November.
Tell us who.
I am not fluent with the names, but you know, you have the three Hispanic women I was talking about on the Rio Grande Valley. A Black Republican challenging Sanford Bishop, a Black Republican challenging Frank Mervan in Gary, Indiana, that have, you know, probably 50-50 shots. You could have like five or six Black Republicans in Congress, which has never occurred in my lifetime or yours.
Be very good. Very good for the Republican Party if that happens. I should go back. Cisneros, Cuellar. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is an interesting race because Cuellar is a Democrat, right? But a pro-life, maybe the last pro-life Democrat in the Democrat party in Congress. And Cisneros is a progressive, an AOC type progressive. Is that right?
That's exactly right. She got blown out in the rural areas.
Okay. So it looks like Cuellar prevailed.
Probably, yes.
Okay. How many? What's the count? Give me a number. Come on, smart guy. Is this like 60? What was it in?
It was 60.
What year was that? 62 or 63? What year was that?
63 in 2010.
Okay.
But you know, 2010, the GOP had 178 seats. Today they have 211. They're just starting from a much stronger.
Okay. Yeah. You can't get them all right. Yeah,
exactly. Right now I'd say 30 to 40.
Well, that's enough, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it'll be it's 50-50 whether this is the biggest Republican congressional delegation since the 20s.
God, you make a simple point, obvious point, which had not occurred to me. Claude, hadn't occurred to me. They're starting with 217, not 170, you know? Right. So, you know, what do you think? They're going to get 100? I mean, you know. Right. 30 or 40, yeah. Minimally 20, 25, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my floor.
Interesting race we should watch. Not necessarily because it's close, but you've mentioned the three Hispanics in the Valley. Anything else? Anybody else?
I mean, I think Liz Cheney's primary is going to attract a lot of interest.
Who wins it?
Cheney loses, definitely.
Trump country, huh?
Yeah, there's another one in South Carolina where Nancy Mace is being challenged by a Trump Republican. You know, we'll see how that plays out. That'll really give us some sense. I think that Mace race in South Carolina one will give us
more
really interesting insights.
Right. Okay. You know, I'm sorry about Liz Cheney thing. I had hoped that she could continue to rise in the party and become speaker. I just think she's very smart and very able. But, you know, whether she did it for the right cause or not, she committed political suicide, didn't she?
She really did. You know, Donald Trump has overwhelming support, both in Wyoming and the Republican Party in general. And, you know, it's just tough.
Okay. Let's go to the Senate. What do you see?
You know, it's the irresistible force versus the immovable object.
Okay.
Terrible environment for Democrats, but the GOP has not fielded its A-team.
Oh.
You know, it's had recruiting failures. Like, they didn't get Larry Hogan. They didn't get Chris Sununu. They didn't get Governor Ducey in Arizona. You know, you've got, like, Herschel Walker. You know, if this were a normal year, they wouldn't have a very good chance, but the environment matters a lot. So, yeah, I think there's a very good chance Herschel Walker is going to be a senator. I think you probably see, like, a three-seat Republican pickup in the Senate just because the playing field isn't great for them.
Three. So then they'll run the Senate. They'll control the Senate.
I think it's very, very likely they'll control the Senate. And
wow. Interesting races. Could you go ahead through those three quickly?
Oh, gosh.
Arizona. Who do you think?
Arizona.
Is that Voinovich?
I think he's the most, you know, I think Kelly's in big trouble. Barely won in 2020. This is not 2020.
He's the astronaut husband of Gabby Gifford, right?
That's right. And Voinovich is a credible candidate. He's not the first choice, but he's legit.
Okay. New Hampshire?
Oh, gosh. You know, the GOP, major GOP recruiting failure. You have the state Senate minority leader probably going to be the nominee, but Hassan isn't terribly popular.
Okay.
Nevada is probably the GOP's best pickup opportunity. It's a state that's been trending Republican.
Adam Laxalt, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. You know, Catherine Cortez Masto has just been kind of a quiet Democratic senator, and in this environment, it's tough for her. I think the most fascinating race is Georgia. It's got everything. You know, this was ground zero for litigation over the fight over whether Trump really won. You got Raphael Warnock, who is a black minister who got elected to Congress, the Senate in a runoff. You've got Herschel Walker running against him. So you have a black Republican against a black Democrat in a state that is, you know, truly a swing state right now. That is going to be a great race.
Yeah. Is Warnock popular with the base?
Yeah, they love him.
They do. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that sense. I got the sense the base loved Stacey Abrams, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but not Warnock. Really? They really love him. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they love them both.
Now, Purdue was what? Within like 0.2 of a point of winning or of getting the Senate seat? I can't remember.
Avoiding a runoff.
Okay. Which case, yeah.
It'd be a different universe, but.
Amazing. Amazing. Huge turnout in Georgia, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is one state where Democrats don't have to worry about black turnout falling off because you got Abrams and Warnock running. Mm-hmm. That is the premier race of this cycle, if you ask me.
Who wins?
I think Walker pulls it out. You know, I think this is still a lot of what we saw in 2020 was Trump specific. I think it's still basically a Republican state. The environment's just too bad for Warnock.
God will know why I'm asking this. You live in Ohio, right?
I do.
So you don't mind me ignoring Ohio State football, right?
I don't mind that.
Overrated. Okay. Because How much will it matter, Claude or Sean, that Georgia won the national championship last year, which brings to mind memories of Herschel Walker?
I mean, I don't think Herschel Walker needs that. You know, he is just he is beloved, especially.
It's enough for me. It's enough for me. All right. OK, that's interesting. Any other you see any surprises or close ones? Democrats who need to be worried, maybe not. Maybe not. Or not worried.
You know, once you get outside of that four, Republicans probably could have put Colorado into play, but they didn't really get a candidate. They're really
To run against too.
Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett, right. Right.
Yeah. They're really high on their chances in Washington. They've got to challenging Patty Murray. But I think that state's just gotten too blue over the last few decades. So
is the state blue or just Seattle?
Oh, it's real. I mean, it's greater Seattle now because with the suburbs swinging, it's just.
Yeah. It's like Paris, right? Yeah. Paris,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just big.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mitch becomes majority leader again?
Absolutely. I think 70% chance.
All right. Anything I'm missing on the Senate races? Anybody caught your interest that we should talk about?
Nope. I think that.
Okay. All right. All right.
That's that.
Let's go to the governors, because I'm really kind of interested in this one. Let's begin, Sean, with Georgia. It's going to be Kemp, right, versus Stacey Abrams.
Right.
And last time, Kemp beat her by a hair or two, right?
He avoided a runoff by a hair, yeah.
Okay, avoided a runoff by a hair, but beat her by a lot? I can't remember.
It was pretty comfortable in the general. But we didn't get a runoff. But the general election was pretty comfortable.
And this time, I would imagine, be more comfortable. No.
Yeah, I you know, the state maybe has moved towards the Democrats some, but I just think Kemp is going to win.
Didn't former President Trump kind of mess things up in Georgia last time?
Yeah, I mean, when you're
say that as a Trump fan, I mean, I just. He just told people not to vote, no turnout, and I hate Kemp, and you know.
Yeah, he kind of threw a temper tantrum there. And when you're telling people, like, hey, the votes aren't going to be counted, it doesn't really give them a good incentive to vote. So, yeah, it was just he really did cost the GOP two Senate seats there.
Right. So, okay, so you predict Kemp. All right. I want to go to Pennsylvania. Is it Mastriani? Is that how you say it, the Republican candidate?
I think it's Mastriano, but yeah.
Mastriano, and he's running against?
He's running against Josh Shapiro, right. The attorney general.
What do you see there?
You know, 10 years ago, you would say Shapiro, because Mastriano is kind of out there. He likes to wear spurs to his campaign events. But I don't know anymore. You know, things are so polarized. I think, you know, maybe put the thumb on the scale for the Democrats. Maybe.
Maybe. Shapiro, he's saying Shapiro.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of Republicans, Trump people particularly, really are watching Pennsylvania because, correct me if I'm wrong, but because Mastriano is saying Pennsylvania gave the election last time to Biden and he will not let that happen again and he will straighten out the election procedures, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Does that have traction?
I mean, the hardcore Trumpers will love it and they'll all turn out to vote. The question is how it plays in the Philly suburbs, which are a huge portion of the state.
So is that a toss up?
Yeah, I would, like I said, I put the thumb on the scale for the Democrats, but it's a toss up.
Okay. Other states. Can you tell me what you know about Arizona?
You know, the Republicans have a crowded primary and they've got some kind of more aggressive Republicans running in it. I can't think of her name. Carrie Lake as a news anchor who is very much, you know, in the pro-Trump camp. We'll see who comes out of the Republican primary. The Democrats will have Katie Hobbs, who's their Secretary of State. This is another state that I think, you know, had some Trump-specific factors in 2010 or in 2020. I think it's still basically a Republican state.
Okay. Lake may prevail. I should say, full disclosure, I'm a friend and supporter of the Republican who's in second place there, Karen Taylor. Apparently she's jumped up some, but Lake is still ahead, I believe, last count. And she is a Trump person, correct?
yeah, she's a diehard. It'll, you know, we'll see what happens once things really get into full swing.
Does Governor Abbott get reelected?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Texas, that okay. No question.
Okay, Beto didn't help himself, I guess, by screaming at the press conference.
No. And I mean, if Abbott won handily in 2018, which is a, you know, terrible Republican year, he'll have no problems this year.
Other governor's races, sir.
Wisconsin, you got Rebecca Clefish as the Republican running against Tony Evers. Is a very, very, very close race in 2018 in kind of a premier swing state. So I think a lot of eyes will be on that.
Who do you predict?
This is one where I think abortion actually might play a role because Wisconsin has a trigger law, I believe. So it becomes illegal if Roe gets overturned. But I still, again, it's environment. I think Clefish pulls it out.
You do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan.
Yeah.
Obviously will be a top flight race. You know, Republicans would love to see her lose because she was so aggressive with lockdowns and such. So we'll see. There's a crowded GOP field. It's really too early to put specific odds on that. Kansas, you know, it's a Republican state, but Democrats have a record of surviving there for the governorship. Derek Schmidt's a credible Republican candidate. So I think you would probably like the Republican chances there. Beyond that, you know, it's not a very broad playing field because we're so well sorted.
And Sarah Huckabee Sanders wins in Arkansas.
Handily. Yeah.
Handily. Okay.
That state's just not competitive for Democrats anymore.
Is Ron DeSantis up?
He is.
He wins.
He wins.
Which leads me to my next question. You're going to hate this one. You know where I'm going. Will Trump run? If Trump runs, will DeSantis not?
So I think the first one is the easier question, which is I don't think Trump will run. I do think Trump will run.
Oh, gosh darn it, Claude. I thought we had a headline.
Yeah, right. No.
Okay, that's it.
I do think Trump will run. Now, you know, the second question is just a lot harder. And a lot, I think, will depend on how the rest of these primaries shake out. If Nancy Mace wins in South Carolina and a couple of these states, the Trump nominee goes down in flames, maybe DeSantis will smell a little bit of weakness and go for it. But I think, you know, challenging Trump is just very, very difficult.
Nevertheless, and I say, and I've said it before on this show, Sean, and you can ask me a question if you want. I'm a Trump guy, but I hope he doesn't run.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go through this again. I just don't want to go through it again.
And I think there's a sense.
I mean, I want
that.
Trump policy. I want a lot of Trump policy, but not you know, without the Twitter's tweets and without the personal stuff and without the angry stuff and the,
yeah,
and the unnecessary gratuitous stuff. You know,
Trumpism without Trump is the kind of the sweet spot, I think, for the GOP.
And that's what
DeSantis brings to the table. And I do think there's some exhaustion in the Republican Party. You know, and even some of the, you know, stop the steal stuff, I think there's a sense it's played out and just go out there and win again. So I don't know. We saw in Georgia the non-Trump candidates won. We've seen some, you know, he could barely pull Oz across the finish line in Pennsylvania. So I think there's a sense that he's not as strong as he was once.
Is Oz going to make it, by the way?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Since we're back in the Senate just momentarily, I'm here in North Carolina. Is Ted Budd a pretty good bet to win?
Yeah, I don't consider that a top tier race.
All right. So Republicans take the House. They take the Senate. 2024 remains to be seen. Governors shifting what number from what to what?
Republicans go from like 28 to 31.
Wow.
Or, I'm sorry, 30, because they're going to lose. They're going to lose Massachusetts and Maryland.
Yeah, so they'll be 30. I should get full disclosure. I'm going to the RGA in Aspen, and I'll be addressing the RGA folks on education. Trying to make the case I've been trying to make for 30 years to this party, which is that this is a big issue.
Well, this
whether
is the...
whether you're talking about school safety or international competitiveness or just, you know, the achievement of basic skills, it's a huge issue. And I think Glenn Youngkin proved that.
Glenn Youngkin, and just I think if there's a time for the GOP to push on education, this is it, when there's so much dissatisfaction over the lockdowns and other things.
You agree? It's a good issue.
Yeah,
I do. And it favors Republicans for once.
Yeah, for once the fight isn't over how much to pay teachers, right. And you know it's a fight over curriculum and choice for the next set of lockdowns. And I think that's a powerful issue matrix.
Yeah. For years, you know, the Republicans have ceded this issue to the Democrats. Democrats have, you know, larded money after money on it, but we're not getting anywhere. Sean, we thank you very much.
Thank you.
And enjoyed listening to you on the Real Clear podcast as well. And we'll call you again as we get closer.
Sounds fantastic.
All right, Dr. Bennett, for a few weeks now, I've been talking about Athletic Greens AG1. And man, let me tell you, I've been doing this consistently. It's an easy part of my morning routine. I just take a scoop of the powder, add some water, shake it up, and then I take it right there in the morning before I leave the house. And let me tell you, I can tell a difference. The biggest difference that I've noticed is in my digestive process, if you know what I mean. Good digestive health. I feel energetic as well. I feel light during the day. And I know I'm getting all the nutrients that I need. It's getting the job done. One scoop of AG1 and you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. I don't even know what an adaptogen is, but it's in there, and it's to help you start your day right. So this special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, your aging, all the things that my wife seems to be worried about when it comes to me and my health. And I'm worried about it, too. I want to make sure that I do things right. So here's how I take my AG1. It comes in a great package. They send you the powdery mix. It's all in the bags and stuff there. But they also send you a water bottle, and it's got the measurements, how many ounces, so you don't have to guess the measurement. You take one serving of the powder, 8 to 12 ounces of water. You shake it up, and then you take it. I do it in the morning, and let me tell you, I do feel more energetic. And I just feel good knowing that the essential vitamins and minerals and all the things that I need to be healthy, I'm consuming it in this one drink. Now, here's the thing about taste. Because that's one of the things I worry about. I'm going to be honest. It's not as if it's cookies and cream ice cream, okay? It's a supplement. It's not coffee with a ton of sugar and hazelnut cream. That's not what it is. It's a supplement. But I will say this. It's the best supplement that I tasted. It just kind of tastes like flavored water a little bit. And that's fine with me. I was actually pleasantly surprised about how it tastes. Now, I actually would recommend this to family and friends, which is why I'm sharing it here on the podcast. Here's the cool thing about it. Number one, it's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, this is good for you. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good. It costs you less than $3 per day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Athletic Greens AG1 was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recover. It cost him $100 a day. So he created Athletic Greens after experiencing how difficult it was to create an optimal nutrition routine on your own. So listen, right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. Simple and nutritious. One scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/bill. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/bill to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Okay, that does it for today's show. To catch up on previous episodes of the show, go to thebillbennettshow.com. You can follow me on Twitter at William J. Bennett. You can like me on Facebook. Just search Bill Bennett. Feel free to email the show. I'd love to hear from you. It's BillBennettPodcast@gmail.com. Please share this podcast with your family and friends. We'll catch up next week.
The internet is an amazing resource to be able to search for just about anything you need information about, right? We now use the term Google it as if Google was a verb or as if Google it was something that we used to always do. You want to know something about anything? Google it and see what comes up on the internet. But there are times where you're searching the internet and you don't want other people to know what you're searching. I remember my wife and I getting some stuff done for taxes last year, and we just had some questions and some things we had to figure out. I don't know if I wanted everybody to kind of know what I was looking up on the internet then. And some of you may be thinking, well, just use incognito mode. There are ways around that. Well, let me tell you something. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. It doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browser history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. That's why even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. It doesn't matter who your internet service provider is. ISPs in the U.S. can legally sell your information to ad companies. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all of your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Most of the time, I didn't even realize I have ExpressVPN on. It runs seamlessly in the background, and it's so easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button, and you're protected. ExpressVPN is available on all your devices, phones, computers, even for your smart TV, so there's no excuse for you not to be using it. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by Business Insider. Visit Bill's exclusive link, expressvpn.com/Bennett, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. That's expressvpn.com/Bennett. ExpressVPN.com/Bennett to learn more.